Now here I am doing all this extra work just because I was so desperate to please both of them and prove that I was a professional makeup artist. So basically, I was getting beat up for about two or three hours. I was getting beat up in my apartment by the two clients. And then they left. They weren't happy. I wasn't happy. As soon as they left, I called my boyfriend at the time on the phone. He was out to dinner with friends, but I called him and I started to cry. I'm a very sensitive person. I'm a Cancer. Welcome to
The Beauty Boss Confidential.
My name is Ren, and I'm a beauty blogger, new mom, makeup artist, and owner of my own makeup academy in Atlanta, Georgia.
My name is Nalani, and I'm a cosmetic tattoo artist and instructor. I run a busy permanent makeup studio and academy in Atlanta as well, and also manage a small team.
We're two modern women
trying to juggle it all,
from building our empire
to being a wife
and navigating being a new mom,
all while making time for ourselves.
We're here to share with you the behind the scenes
of what it's really like to run a successful beauty business,
from marketing to business strategies
and trying to find that perfect work-life balance.
Let's dive right in. Hey guys, so we're back with another episode. This one is going to be pretty interesting. No names will be mentioned because the topic is how to deal with nightmare clients. Now, me and Nalani have been in business for a while, and everyone is going to experience this, and hopefully you can learn from our lessons. So Nalani will be chirping in with her feedback, but I'm going to share you a story of a nightmare client, a client who is actually what you would call a bridezilla. So I have a quote to start off with, which I think will frame this pretty well. Bill Gates said, "Your most unhappy customers are your greatest source of learning." That's something to consider. Yes, it might be a nightmare, but it's also an opportunity for growth. So let me tell you about my client. Once upon a time, I had a bride and she came to me for a bridal trial, which is pretty normal. You want to test each other out, get the look down before the big day. So she showed up with her sister, and also completely normal. Usually your brides will bring a family member or friend just to kind of get some feedback. At that point in my career, I was killing it. I'm not going to lie. I was really confident. Like, I was booking clients left and right. I love doing brides and weddings. And she was just another client that I was sure I was just going to kill it. So the thing with this bride is she actually had severe acne. She had texture on her skin and some scars. So she was pretty sensitive about that. And she really wanted a professional makeup artist to make her look and feel great for her big day. So, you know, at that point in my career, like I said, I was really confident. And I was like, yeah, we can totally cover this up. I was actually going to airbrush her because she wanted airbrush makeup and I had been certified in airbrush. So I was really excited for it. And then the trial happened. So she came to my apartment. This is back when I was doing makeup in my apartment. And the first thing was an energy in the room kind of shifted. She was so cool when I was talking to her on the phone and everything like that. But she had her sister with her, and her sister just kind of came into the room with an attitude. She was like one of those clients that you see on that show. Have you seen the show Nalani Say Yes to the Dress by any chance?
Yes.
That kind of like the entourage?
Yes. There's always that one person.
So this was the bitter Betty in the group. So she was pretty much just like not happy. I don't know if she was like just not having a good day, or she was just not happy to have someone else get married besides her. You know, that can happen sometimes. But she was nitpicking the makeup, like, from every single step. And we all know that makeup does not look good till the end. You know what I mean? So it's like a process. So I knew that, you know, the bride's confidence was failing the more and more the sister talked. And just naturally, my personality is I'm a people pleaser. I want everybody to be happy. I was raised to be very polite and also professional. So I continued on with the trial, but it just was not working out. Her skin texture was killing it. And I should have known as a makeup artist, and I should have set the expectation, because one of the big rules we know as makeup artists is that you cannot cover texture. Like, no matter how much makeup and color correction you do, texture is just something that is built into the skin, and you're a makeup artist, not a magician. That's what we say. So it was a struggle. I was like really trying to keep it together. The bride was getting a little bit more meaner as well. She was starting to be like, why can't you cover this, blah, blah, blah. Because from the beginning, I had set the expectation that I was going to be able to give her a flawless complexion. And then somehow, I don't know how this happened, her sister had individual lashes, like the semi-permanent kind on, and she somehow convinced me to help her remove her semi-permanent lashes. I don't know why I did that, because I did have some like lash removal, adhesive removal, but I was like, now here I am doing all this extra work just because I was so desperate to please both of them and prove that I was a professional makeup artist. So basically, I was getting beat up for about two or three hours. I was getting beat up in my apartment by the two clients. And then they left. They weren't happy. I wasn't happy. As soon as they left, I called my boyfriend at the time on the phone. He was out to dinner with friends, but I called him and I started to cry. I'm a very sensitive person. I'm a Cancer. So bawled out. And I was like, oh my God, this girl just came and she like tore me a new one. And it was like, it was definitely like an ego killer, because I thought I was such a great makeup artist. And then I wasn't able to give her what she wanted, and she told me about myself. So what did I learn from this experience? Well, I learned that I made some mistakes from the beginning. I should have set the right expectation for my client. And I learned that you have to control the way a session goes. So I will say that I was proud that I didn't cry during the trial. That's something I actually learned early on in my career. I had an internship with a PR company, and they told me one time, it was a really, really stressful job. They told me, if you're going to cry, you can leave. And that really stuck with me, because I was like, okay, you got to suck it up sometimes. And I did at that point, but man, this was a fail. And sometimes you just have to acknowledge that, you know, sometimes you're not going to please everybody, and you have to find out how you can get better from the experience. So here I am, feeling hurt, feeling broken. And she didn't hire me for the wedding, obviously. She ended up hiring a friend of hers who was just like a regular girl who just happened to be into makeup. But I think that she was like, well, if this professional makeup artist can't do it, my friend might as well just do it for free. And then I wish I had just from the beginning, like I said, set that expectation. And sometimes, you know, you have to understand it's not personal. You're just not a match and you can't give them what they want. So I'm going to break down the steps that I learned with how to deal with a client gone wrong. And sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it's, you know, you're not a match, because I think it's important to be able to learn from an experience. So here are the steps with how to deal with a nightmare client. The first step is stay calm. Save the tears for later. If you need to take a bathroom break to go, you know, collect yourself, go ahead and do that. Have you ever felt like on a gig or with a client, have you ever felt like angry or just so upset? And like, how did you handle it, Nalani?
Yes. Plenty of times. I would say the best thing, you already mentioned it, but definitely set expectations. So I never use the word perfect. I never use the word flawless. If they show me a picture from a magazine, and you know, one of the biggest families obviously are the Kardashians, but the pictures that is out on the internet has been filtered, airbrushed, the best lighting and things like that. And so if they ever show me an inspiration from like a celebrity, I call it out. I'm like, that's because it's airbrush. she already has nice skin. And to touch on that topic, when you said you cannot change texture, yes. So definitely set their expectations. Like, look, not only is it airbrush, is it filtered and Photoshop, but these celebrities spend thousands of dollars getting their skin right before the photo shoot. So definitely set expectations, and also just be realistic with them. Like, that's great, but this is what we're working with. So that's one of the things that has helped me throughout the years, is to manage their expectations from the beginning.
Right. And it's not going to deter you from, you know, from your sales or from getting clients. I think it's going to help you keep more clients, you know, and setting those expectations up front. So that's the number one step, I think, is to set the expectations. But if something does, you know, go wrong, whether it's their fault or your fault, stay calm. Obviously, you need to give your client time to listen to their concerns. You know, they have the right to express how they feel. And if you've ever taken like any like premarital counseling, like I remember I took it with my husband, the number one thing that you can do for conflict resolution is to let someone speak their piece and then try to reiterate back to them what you heard and how you understand it's making them feel. It's a game changer. It really helps them to feel like they're being listened to and not judged. So let's say she said to me, I feel like my skin looks crazy and I don't like the way this foundation looks, and I'm really upset. So I would say back to her, so you're not happy with the way the foundation looks. The skin is still an issue, and you're feeling upset that this isn't turning out because we can still see the texture. Am I correct? Something like that. So that way it's like she knows you're listening and you're responding. Okay. So from that point, when after you deliver a reply, you have to kind of figure out, why is she upset about that? Is it something that you did as a bad service? Is it more like a communication problem? Is it a personality conflict? Is she just having a bad day? You know what I mean? Because sometimes people will critique your service, but it's just because of something that's going on with them. Have you ever experienced something like that?
Yes. The first thing I actually thought about was my personal relationship with P, my husband. So he's really good about being kind of like understanding and not to assume that someone treated you a certain way because it's a personal attack. Like, for instance, if we're going out to like a restaurant and say the server was having a bad attitude or things like that, naturally we want to be like, what's wrong with her? Like, taking it really personal. So he's always good about playing like the devil's advocate. Like, well, maybe, you know, she's back to work, and with this whole COVID situation, she might not have someone to watch her kids and blah, 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 you know? So he's very good at giving like a possible narrative. Like, don't take it personal. If you feel like you didn't do anything wrong, then you shouldn't take it personal and just be a little bit more understanding. Like, it might not be us. It might just be the current situation that she's dealing with. And it sucks that she might have taken it out on us, but frankly, it's not worth for us to be stressed out.
Yeah, I feel like that's really a mature response, and it takes time to kind of train yourself to just not react instantly and just be like, okay, let me try to look at this objectively. Like, it could be this or that. And, you know, honestly, when you're servicing a client, you have to try not to take things personally. So yes, maybe she's having a bad day, or she has other circumstances, he or she has other circumstances. So it's definitely important to kind of distance yourself. And another point that I want to bring on to that is, being in this industry, you have to have a thick skin, or at least develop one, because, you know, you're going to hear negative feedback. It's just part of the game. Constructive criticism, hopefully. But how do you feel that your sensitivity meter has changed since being in the service industry, Nalani?
You definitely have to have thick skin. And what I realized this And it does come with confidence. Like in the beginning, whether if you're doing makeup or lashes or brows, it's a new field for you. So you're learning. So I would say in the beginning, you're probably a little bit more critical to yourself because you're like, well, this person is paying me and I need to be able to deliver. I need to be able to make them happy. So I think it comes with like a confidence thing. The more experience you have, the more exposure you have, I think it will get better. So after you develop that confidence part of it, then you won't take things too personal. And you touched on it before where you were like, maybe it's just not a fit. So a perfect example is if somebody likes like R&B and then that other person likes country, it doesn't mean that R&B is better or country's better. It's just we're not into that genre and that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like just because someone doesn't like what you do, your brows or your makeup, doesn't mean that you're not a great artist. It's just not the look that you like and it's not the look that they like. So therefore, it's not a good fit and they can find someone else that might be more of a fit for them. As long as you have like the experience and training and confidence, then you're not going to take it personal. You're going to be like, I know my stuff. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm doing. You just might like what I do and that's okay.
Yeah. I think that if you invest in your career and you definitely have, you know, the experience and the portfolio to show that, you know, other people like what I do, it's just there are just some people who aren't a fit. It makes you, you know, comfortable to have some clients who are like, maybe I'm just going to recommend you to somebody else, or, you know, this is my solution. If I can't fix it, there's someone else on my team who might be able to take you, or a colleague of mine, because sometimes you just have to cut the loss. You know what I mean? Like you can't please everybody. So
yes,
that's an option. Yeah. So like, what if somebody, you know, doesn't want, like just doesn't like the service at all. And they're just like, I just want my money back. You know, that's going to happen too. So maybe you just have to just do a refund. Is it worth, sometimes you have to decide, is it worth the trouble of dealing with them, or do you want to just cut your losses? What do you think about that?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know what? It for me, I actually had to refund one person one time, and this was like early on. And looking back now, I probably wouldn't have done it moving forward. And the reason is because P actually mentioned this. If you give a refund, or if you give a partial refund, it means that you're admitting fault. But if you give a refund because you just don't want to, like, there's one quote that I heard and it completely changed my whole perspective. Like sometimes peace is better than being right. So if you give someone a refund after the service because you're just like, it's not worth my time to fight this person. It's not worth my time. It's not worth my stress. But in deep down in your mind, you know you're right, but you don't have to constantly go back and forth with them to prove that you're right. So in that instance, I think it might be okay to maybe refund because you're already confident with what you did, how you handled your situation, and your time, your stress level is needs to be spent on other things. But if you give a refund because somebody demanded it and you're just like, well, it's not my fault, and give it anyway, then that's a whole nother story. To me, it shouldn't be that reason. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it totally does, because it really is on a case by case basis. I think if it was that the reason was they just demanded it, even though you gave them the service that they technically were under contract for, that's one thing, because you know, you delivered what you said you were going to deliver. Whether or not they liked it or not, doesn't mean they necessarily get a refund. And I think what I learned from having the makeup school is that having a detailed refund policy that they have to sign off on. And, you know, that's how we do it. We have like a enrollment agreement and that's in there. That really has helped us and it's protected us, because if they decide to drop out after a certain amount of time, you know, they can't get a refund. And it is what it is, you know, like, you know, you have a good service. It's just some people are just so difficult to please. And like, I'll even learn from my husband, who was like in the club industry for a while. Some people will just try to get a charge back, where they'll just like try to get their money back just and fake a bad service just because they're shady like that. Mm-hmm. So if you have your refund policy and you have your, you know, contract and your payments, that will really help to protect you from like that. Hopefully it's just like a small percentage of the population, but it does happen.
Yeah. So to summarize that, if someone's bullying you to get a refund and you know deep down in your heart that it wasn't your fault and that they just didn't read, you know, your website and your policy, because I have it on my paperwork and they have to sign it. However, if they're just bullies, then no, do not do it. But if you feel that they are going to just be more of a headache and stress long term, then what I would do is go ahead and give them a refund and release them as a client. That's pretty much saying, here's your money. It's not about that. I don't need your money. Go take it elsewhere. You know, so I think for me, I would be okay with that, but it's going to be a hard fight. And now that I have P involved, like he is so by the book and he's so, you know, per the contract, I don't deal with that stuff anymore. That's not my strong suit. So he does everything. But if they're just not going to be happy with whatever you do, and it's just better to get them out of your life, then it might just be worth it just to get more of a peace of mind. We're fair people. As long as you feel like you're fair, then people should not take your kindness for weakness. That's one thing too. It's like, we're fair and we do what we feel is right. We do what we feel is with high integrity, you know? So if there's some shadiness going on with the other party, then we don't operate that way. We pick and choose who we want to see. So you have the choice. As much as they're hiring you for a service, you're interviewing them to be your client as well. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Customers aren't always right. I'm sorry.
Totally true. And, you know, as business owners and entrepreneurs, we are put in that situation where we can choose who we want to work with. So that's a really good point. It's not like some kind of corporate, like, policy. We choose our policy. And I like how you said, like, we're interviewing them as well, because you might not want to work with that client later. Let's say that you know, like you had a trial or you're giving a consultation or doing one session of brows and you had to do another session of brows. And that client was just a nightmare. And they wanted to come back, but they stressed you out so bad. And, you know, it was just a bad experience. And you know that you couldn't deliver what they wanted, but they still decided to come back. So that might bring the possibility up of how do you fire a client? Because it will happen. What would you do, Nalani?
Oh, this is great. So you want to say things like, we might not be a good fit for each other, or you might say, we've decided to release you as a client. I have it on my website. We can release you as a client with or without reason. I also have it on my contract as well. So there are some clients that come back every year that you might have to release. And that's fine, because it's like a relationship. Like, you might be with someone for 2 years and you're like, okay, I don't want to be with this person anymore. So it just could be like, we are going to release you as a client, and you do not have to explain yourself. The more you say, the more complicated it is. Just keep it simple and just say, we're not a good fit for each other. We're not compatible. Or just say, I'm going to release you as a client. Like, you don't have to overly explain yourself. Honestly, it's a private business. Yeah. It's an elective treatment. Like, this is not something that's like a cold and cough where you're going to the Minute Clinic and getting, you know, prescription. Like, you do not have to get your makeup done. You do not have to get your eyebrows done. You know, same thing for plastic surgery. Like, you think that when you get plastic surgery, like, that surgeon's going to give you your money back after they did it because your skin didn't take it or your muscle dropped a certain way? Like, they're not going to do that. That's their time. You know, that's a whole full day of surgery. The same thing with eyebrows. It's like, that's 3-4 hours and then some of your time, because not counting like approving appointments, going back and forth, like all of that takes into consideration. To me, it's not really about the money. It's about the principle and your time. Like, time is something you cannot give back. Time is non-refundable. And to me, time is more important than money.
Yeah, I really like how you worded it too, like release you as a client, not compatible. And I think as women, something that we have to work on, and not try and generalize, but sometimes we feel like we have to explain ourselves and we don't. You can just make a decision and it's like period.
It's nobody's, you know? It's nobody's business but yours.
You can decide whether or not you want to take on this client or not. Yeah. So I like the idea of having your contract and having your policies being signed off on your website and on your paperwork, because you always have that to fall back on. Because I have a friend who's a makeup artist, and she was actually taken to court for something like this. They wanted a refund, and because it wasn't explicitly in her contract, the plaintiff won. So she had to refund the client's money back. It always comes down to protecting yourself, you know, and with that paperwork and that refund policy and all that. So I think that's an important lesson for newbies who are early on the game, is that you have to be an all-around business entrepreneur and make sure you take care of that stuff. So,
yeah.
Wow, that was a lot. That was some really good, lessons learned. Hopefully, we can help you work through your nightmare clients. And I will say, like, most of my clients are awesome. I'm not just, most of the time, like 99% are great, but you know, it's inevitable that you all deal with somebody who is not, you know, your cup of tea. So it's good to have a framework of how to deal with them. So just as a recap, you're going to stay calm, listen to their concerns, deliver a prompt reply, figure out why they're upset, offer your solution. Sometimes you have to cut your losses, but always review and learn from the experience and decide what can you do different or better next time. So do you have any words in closing, Nalani?
Yeah, I actually want to share a really quick story. So my background is a recruiter. And when I was a recruiter, I was a recruiter for 3 years, and I was always taught to reply back, you know, within 24 hours, and also like get to someone's question before they ask it. So the recruiting industry with the company that I worked with was so like hustle, hustle, hustle. So with that being said, it kind of transferred to running my own business. And I always thought that I had to reply to the email like right as soon as I got it, reply to someone's text as soon as I got it, reply to someone's concerns as soon as I got it, right? But lately here, I've kind of restructured how I thought, because I'm going to actually read you a quote. It says, don't make any promises when you're happy. Don't make any decisions when you're angry. And I think there's another part of it to that. But basically, I learned this recently. And again, P has been coaching me through all of this as far as client management and things like that. But the power of a pause. So in corporate, they always tell you to be on top of it, right? Like reply to emails within 24, 48 hours. And I think having that mentality with this industry is a little different. So the power of the pause, what I mean by that is like, you don't have to respond right away. Sometimes when a client is concerned, don't reply right away. Give them a chance to think about what exactly it is that they're concerned about. So for instance, if you get a text saying, oh, my makeup didn't last, okay, or my brows started flaking at day 10, which is what they're supposed to do. And even though we do set expectations and give them the pictorials and descriptions and things like that, we still get those texts, and we will always get those texts. Those texts are not going to go away, and those concerns, which is fine. But instead of like responding right away, give them time to think about the question that they asked you, because a lot of times they will realize what they asked you. And also, secondly, they will do their own due diligence and research themselves and then answer their own question. So that was my recent epiphany. And I thought that was pretty helpful, because at first, I always got on to P about like, why aren't you answering back? Like, you know, our policy states like 24 to 48 hours. And when he told me that, I actually started seeing it happen. And they actually ended up figuring the answer out themselves. So in closing with that, sometimes you cannot baby people, and you just can't teach adults how to be adults. Like, just read, you know, just try to figure it out yourself. And it's not that you're ignoring them. It's just that you're giving time for them to think about what they just said to you. So I thought that was very valuable. And you guys should really give it a try. It really does work.
I've never heard that before. And I think that's actually really interesting. That's definitely more of a psychological response, you know, with the whole, like, how does the mind work? And people freak out.
They do.
And they want what they want. And then you're right. Like, sometimes you have to let them stew in it.
They're impulsive. Then, they impulsively text. And no matter what we tell them, you know, all the information's on the website, people don't read. People will never read. But if you kind of give it a few days to marinate and they're like, oh, this person haven't replied me back, let me go ahead and scroll through a text thread, or let me go to her website, let me try to... And then we would get texts back like, oh, okay, never mind, I figured it out. Like, it literally, like, happens right before my eyes. Because for those 2 days that P doesn't text or whatever, I'm just like, oh my God, you know, I'm like stressed out, you know? You can't teach people how to be adults. Like, that was one of the most valuable quotes actually from a client that told me, like, you cannot, like, if you enable them, and plus you teach them how to treat you, so the next time they freak out, they're going to expect you to respond right away, you know? So it's kind of like dating again. I refer back to that. Like, it's not about playing games, but it's just like, sometimes when you're dating, you can't just text immediately after you get a text or call back, you know, you kind of have to play hard to get a little bit. People want what they can't have. Yeah. When somebody comes back to you and say they're not happy with your service, it hurts. You know, Erica Badu, you know, she said it right. Like, we're sensitive about our art, you know, like, it hurts. Mm-hmm. And imagine if you respond back right away, you're going to say things that you might not mean. So when you make a decision, your mind has to be like sound. It has to be clear. It has to be concise. Like, sleep on it. P's really good about sleeping on it. Like, he doesn't make any decisions when he's mad, angry, sad, or any type of emotions. Like, you have to control your emotions before you give an answer. And that comes with time. Like, you just got to give yourself time to think about things. And if a few days pass, then so be it. At least you came up with a solution with a clear and concise mind. I've been trying to implement that more. It's definitely a mental training. If you can control your emotions, I feel like you've kind of mastered, like, the epitome of, like, being calm and at peace. And that's something I'm working on, is just to be at peace. That's a little bit of a tangent, but...
No, that's really good. No, I love how we just kind of, like, learn all these life lessons from these topics, because I agree. In my personal relationships, I've found that not reacting when you're angry and giving yourself time, you know, to come up with a fair, unemotional response, it ends up working out better in the end. So you just have to kind of rein yourself in, just like how we said, stay calm, you know, give yourself time, give them time too. And I think people just end up getting along better that way in both business and in personal life. So I love it. I think that's great. We have a lot of jewels in today's podcast. So hopefully you guys learn a couple of new things today. And I think that pretty much wraps up our topic on how to deal with a nightmare client. So that's it for now. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Until next time, stay cute and confident. Thanks for joining us on the Beauty Boss Confidential.
If you love this episode, go ahead and screen record your favorite part and tag us on Instagram. I'm Nalani at BeautyBot.
And I'm Ren at Makeup by RenRen.
We would love to hear from you.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And please give us a 5-star rating and tell all your beauty bosses.
Thanks again for tuning in.
And we'll catch you next time.